Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We're in the book of Revelation, and if you will recall, at the end of chapter 6, when the wrath of God is being poured out, the response of people high and low is not repentance. Look at the end of chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. "Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" This morning we begin our reading in chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8 and 9. This is God's word. "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the Lord. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark, a third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, 'Woe! Woe! Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels.' The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had his trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, this is not a cheery picture. There are times when you look at current events and you get discouraged. And then you go to the scriptures and you say, wow, well, things could be worse. I am increasingly persuaded that what we are seeing in current events is very much a foreshadowing of what we're seeing here in Scripture. It's not just that Scripture is warning us that things are bad, it's that the two are getting more and more aligned. The fourth chapter of the book of Amos, God describes his dealings with his people. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town. yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. I used to see signs as I drove around the country. Some of them were billboards. Some of them were the side of a barn. Some of them were very clearly homemade signs stuck up in somebody's pasture. And those signs said, prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Folks, we need to prepare to meet God. We need to realize, as we look at what is going on in our world, as we look at what is going on in our country, these are not happy days that are here again. We are watching insanity not only endorsed by our government, but enforced by our government. I would plead with you to pray that God will have mercy on our land. But I'll tell you something. At some point, you just have to realize we're experiencing God's wrath. At what point should the people of Israel have waked up? God describes through Amos all these things that were happening. And the response was, they just kept reeling from one disaster to another. Now, you look at the book of Revelation. There's some stuff here that is really hard to grasp. When it says a third of the earth was burned up, just process that for a second. Chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the earth, not a third of some country somewhere, a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass, it says, was burned up. What do you do when that happens? Well, wouldn't you think you'd maybe cry out to God for mercy? Back when they knew in chapter 6 that this is the wrath of God, they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. They're not questioning that God is on the throne. They know that, and still, instead of repenting, they're praying to the mountains and the rocks. They know it's the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb, but there's no repentance. Verse 8 of chapter 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. When bad things happen, some people say, Lord, have mercy. But sometimes, God, in his mercy, lets the devastation reach epic proportions. You look back in our history And how many people died of the flu in the early 1900s? You think they didn't pray? Think there weren't Christians then? A lot of people died from something that now we think, well, I'm just going to get a flu shot because I don't want to have to miss work. We're talking about life and death. If the forecast things regarding superbugs happen in this country, that the scientists are telling us we better be prepared for, what's going to happen? What if a third of the people in Sevier County were killed by something? Do you think at that point the churches would be full, or would everybody be staying home so they don't spread any germs? I don't want to pick up anything. I mean, what would we do if a third of the ships on the oceans were all destroyed like that? At what point would we say, we better get serious? You remember after 9/11, how the churches were full for a few weeks? It was a few weeks. Everybody was really serious about God for a few weeks. Then it was back to normal. Like, okay, other things press in. Third angel sounded his trumpet. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Fourth angel, verse 12, sounded his trumpet. And a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. I don't understand what that looks like. A third of the sun? A third of the moon? A third of the stars? Then it says a third of the day was without light. I can kind of picture that. A third of the night was without light? I thought generally we were without light at night, and that's why we call it night, you know? I don't understand all these things. But I do know that after they've happened and a ton of people have died, verse 13, this angel cries out, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." In other words, we've had catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe, and the warning comes, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because now it's about to get really bad. It's really bad. Oh, but it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Please don't say this. I came here looking for some hope and encouragement. I wanted you to make me feel better. Can't you didn't even start off with a joke. I'm telling you that God says judgment is coming. And if you look around, you ought to be able to tell. We're under judgment. Saw a wonderful video, shared it with my wife because I knew she would want to be blessed too. It was a best-selling author, economist, talking about how the entire economic system in this country can collapse at any time. And basically, when the credit system falls apart, it could go down, the whole thing could go down in as little as 3 hours. Are you feeling good yet? Pastor, don't you believe that, you know, the Christians are all going to be gone? We're going to miss all this stuff. I believe that our brothers and sisters in China would tell us we better be ready for hard times. I believe that our brothers and sisters in Cuba and Russia, which, by the way, has just outlawed evangelism in Russia. Okay? Thank you, Mr. Putin. They have banned it because the Orthodox Church didn't want competition from evangelicals or Muslims. And so in the idea of stopping the spread of Islam, they've banned evangelicals and they've already started making arrests. Okay? And evangelical Christians are being arrested for having meetings in their home where they allow other people to come and share the gospel. Okay, they're being arrested. Missionaries are asking us to pray. People who've spent years over there ministering in the name of Jesus are being arrested in Russia right now. I think our brothers and sisters in Russia would tell us, you better get ready for tough times in the U.S. You and I need to understand, if our hope is in anything other than the Lord God Almighty, our hope is misplaced. If we think, well, you know, as far back as I can remember, there have been ups and downs, but we always do okay. Well, your memory's not long enough. If you look at how many people died in the war between the states, we lost more lives in that war than we did in several of our other wars combined. That was right here on our soil, brother fighting brother, neighbor against neighbor. Don't think that history tells us to relax. History tells us to be prepared. And you and I had better understand that Jesus Christ is our only hope. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, they didn't repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Kind of an interesting combination of things there, wouldn't you say? You know, it's like, we tend to want to rank stuff. Well, I would never do that. I wouldn't do that either. I still do this a little bit, but you know, but that stuff I totally stay away from. Sin is deadly. God calls his people to holiness. And if you look at what God said to the churches at the beginning of the book of Revelation, he said to church after church, five of the seven, repent. 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 I don't know about you, but I keep waiting for somebody else to do that. Okay? They need to repent. And God says, no, you. I'm talking to you. You whom I love. I'm calling you to repentance. Repent. Repent. What's it going to take? When Jesus rose from the dead, the soldiers went and told the chief priests, don't blame us. He came back alive. Okay? And the chief priests said, here's what we want you to do. Tell people that you were asleep and his disciples came and stole the body. This was not a problem of the Jewish leadership not having the facts. It was a problem with the Jewish leadership not wanting to accept the truth. Folks, we're living in an age when the problem is not that, golly, people just don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. Oh yeah, they do. God has put it in our hearts. We know. We know. We may not know all of it, but we know enough to know that we've sinned and that we need mercy. May God have mercy. And may God bring us to the point of true repentance. Even if it takes a drought. Even if it takes a blight, even if it means a third are killed. May God have mercy. But I'll tell you something, a day is coming when as God's wrath is being poured out, people will not repent. Folks who say, how could a loving God let anybody go to hell? Need to realize hell's going to be filled with people who said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. The people in hell are going to be people who, when confronted with the truth, said, no. Jesus said, this is the judgment. Light has come into the darkness. And men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. That's what we're seeing played out all around us. God grant that we would be a holy people who embrace the truth and receive God's mercy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.